But I say it's a great pleasure for me to be with you again. It's been a long time since I was here, but it's always a joy to come here. And of course it's like coming home, because some of you I know very well now, and it's lovely, and it's a privilege to come and have the opportunity to bring God's word to you. And I hope that what I have to say to you this afternoon will be glorifying to God and beneficial to your souls. I would like to draw your attention for a while to the Epistle of James, the second chapter and the fifth verse. James chapter 2 and verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? These words were addressed to believers. This epistle of James was written to Christians. It was written to people who had faith. And so he says in the first chapter, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Could he say that to all of us here this afternoon? Your faith. Because this faith is a personal thing. No one else can believe for us. But happy are we indeed if we can say that we have obtained like precious faith with these people who lived upon the earth so long ago. And thank God, there are people still on the earth, even in this wicked land of ours, who have a similar faith, same faith, a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words in this fifth verse of the second chapter of James contains information about people who were rich in faith. Rich in faith. Rich in faith. And the verse begins with this word. Hearken. Listen. Pay attention. I want you to take particular notice of what I am just about to write, says James. And it is good for us all to understand the words of this particular verse. It's good for believers to understand this. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? People who are rich in faith were chosen by God. God chose these people. They are poor. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the promise of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? People who are rich in faith love God. They love the God of the Bible, the God who created the earth in 6 days. God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great and the holy God, the only true God. People who are rich in faith love this God of whom we read in the Holy Scriptures. And furthermore, the people who are rich in faith have been promised a kingdom. Let us look at some of these things that James tells us about people who are rich in faith. Chosen by God. We didn't choose him. He chose us. He chose us individually. And at the same time, he chose us in Christ. We would have no hope at all without Christ. And so we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The elect of God. There are people who are elect, and there are people who are not. Those who are rich in faith are rich in faith because God chose them. It wasn't something that they worked up. Faith is something that God gives to the elect. It is a gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It's all of grace. And these people who are rich in faith, they love God. Oh, it is wonderful to love God. All things work together for good to them that love God. Is not marvelous? Nothing can go wrong for us. We can't lose. All things are working together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Those who are rich in faith, those who love God, they are in the purpose of God. Hear the purpose. He has a special purpose for us. It is the purpose of God according to election. They who are rich in faith have been chosen by God unto salvation. The ultimate end of all men is either damnation or salvation, and damnation is terrible. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. But those who are rich in faith have been chosen to salvation. We are not going to hell, we are going to heaven. There were people in Thessalonica who heard Paul preaching the gospel and they believed. And Paul said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him. And there is to be a day of wrath, a day of judgment. What a terrible day that will be. And we will all be there. But blessed be God, if we are rich in faith, we are not appointed to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. People who are rich in faith, love God, they have been called by God. They didn't wake up one morning and say, I think I'll become a Christian today. No. God called them. That's what happened. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. According to his purpose of election. They are called into the fellowship of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. People who are rich in faith love the Lord Jesus Christ. They enjoy fellowship with him. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We know him, we speak to him. He has done wonderful things for us. And He continues to do wonderful things for us. They who are rich in faith have been called not to uncleanness, but unto holiness. God has called us to leave our sins and the wicked lives we lived before, and to live a holy life, to walk before our God in righteousness and holiness all the days of our lives. We've been called unto His kingdom and His glory. We are bound for glory. We are going to heaven. God has called us with this heavenly calling. They who are rich in faith have been called out of darkness into God's most marvelous light. Once we were totally ignorant about God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We were ignorant about ourselves. We didn't realize that we were such awful sinners, or that we were in such terrible peril. But then one day God called us. Then we realized how desperate was our plight, but how great was the salvation that God brought to us. And we had liked about what the Lord Jesus did upon the cross, how He bore our sins in His own body to the tree, how He made atonement for every one of our sins without a single exception, how that He is the propitiation for our sins. He has satisfied divine justice on our behalf. He has appeased the wrath of God. For the believer, the flames of hell have been forever quenched with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Those whom God has called, He has justified. Whom He called, them He also justified. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? How dare you? God the judge has justified us. He has declared us righteous. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We have been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have been justified by faith and have peace with God. God did it. God called us. God justified us. It is wonderful to be justified. Every one of our sins, without a single exception, has been pardoned. Not one remains. He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You know, you can travel north until you come to the North Pole. But when you come to the North Pole, as soon as you pass it, you're traveling south. So there's a limit to the distance that you can travel north. But you can travel west forever. And you can travel east forever. God has removed our sins infinitely far away from us. They have gone in one direction, and we are going in another. And we're getting further away from them all the time. God's pardon is marvelous. Blessed is that man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness without works. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. The devil might say nasty things about us. Other people might say nasty things about us. But God will not impute sin to us. Never. Our sins are covered. They are pardoned. We have received the blessings of the new covenant. And of us, God has said, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Furthermore, they who are justified, God has imputed righteousness to us. We didn't have a righteousness of our own, but God has given us a perfect righteousness. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul said, He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Christ, the believer is made the righteousness of God, a perfect righteousness is imputed to the believer. Jesus Christ is made to the believer wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I have no righteousness of my own, but Jesus Christ is my righteousness. Jeremiah prophesied of this. He spoke of Christ. He shall be called by this name, the Lord, our righteousness. O believer in Jesus Christ, you may speak in this fashion. Jesus Christ, my Lord, my righteousness. Bold shall I stand in that great day, clothed in His righteousness. Nothing to fear. They who are rich in faith have been chosen by God. They have been given by the Father to the Son. They are the sheep of Christ. He says, My Father gave them me. Oh, how wonderful. Furthermore, they who are rich in faith have been drawn to Christ by the Father who chose them. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. Draw him, said Christ. We owe it all to God. It is mercy all. Immense and free. They who are rich in faith are poor. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Now we'll have to stop and consider this word a little. There are people who are materially poor, and there are people who are financially poor, who have not been chosen by God. There are millions of poor people who are not among the elect of God. There are millions of poor people who are not rich in faith. On the other hand, there are people who have been rich, who have been rich in faith. If you read the details about Abraham, he was very clearly a very rich man. And when he wanted to find a bride for Isaac, he sent precious jewels and gold for Rebekah, and precious presents for her brother and her mother. Abram could do this. He was rich in gold and silver and flocks and herds. But he was also strong in faith, giving glory to God. I do not doubt that Job, who also was a rich man, was rich in faith. He said this, Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. I don't care what God does to me, I will still trust Him. When God took away so much from him, he said, The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These men, undoubtedly, Abraham and Job, were rich men. But they were also, undoubtedly, rich in faith. But this I can tell you, all who are rich in faith are poor in spirit. The world might think we are simpletons. They might think we could find something better to do on a Sunday afternoon than come to listen to God's word. But we are not that simple. All who are rich in faith are poor in spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom that God has promised to them that love him." In Luke's gospel, it is recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." It is they who are poor in spirit who are rich in faith. I read to you Psalm 86 earlier on. Now, I don't know whether David was king when he penned that psalm. If he was, I don't suppose he was very poor at that time in earthly terms. But he says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. For I am poor and needy. I need God." That is the language of people who are rich in faith. "I cannot manage without God. I cannot face life without God. I cannot live without him. And I'm terrified of dying without him. I am poor and needy." That is the language of people who are rich in faith. And God said this, "To this man will I look." These are the people I take notice of. These are the people I care for. "Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." These things go together, you see. Poverty of spirit. "Oh God, I need you. I need you desperately because I am a sinner. And you are a holy God and there is a day of judgment. I need pardon." And of course, they who are poor in spirit, they are concerned about their sins. "I don't want to sin anymore. I'm sorry that I've done the things I did. I am ashamed of the things that I have said. They cause me grief and anguish." "I am poor and needy. I need your pardon." And another thing of these people it says here, "and trembleth at my word." They do not make jokes about the Bible. They do not criticize this book. They bow before its authority. This is the word of the living God, who cannot lie. The great God, who is the judge of all the earth, before whom we must all appear. And we tremble at his word. We take notice of what it says. We believe it. We believe those parts that we might find difficult. We believe those parts which perhaps we don't fully understand. But God has said it. It's got to be right. It is right. Thy word is true from the beginning, and it is true to the end. Thy word is pure. If it's in this book, it's true. And anything that is contrary to what it says in this book is not true. That's the situation. The poor in spirit are conscious of their need of God. And actually, the result of that consciousness is that we express our need to God. "Oh, I am poor, what shall I do? I will cry to God. Oh God, help me because I am poor." This is what drives us to prayer. Sometimes believers don't pray as much as they ought to do. But then trouble comes along and then they pray. They're glad to cry out unto God. Thank God. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquity. And if we are forgetful, He doesn't forget us. And though we come to Him like returning prodigals, He never drives us away. Blessed be His name. He welcomes, pardons, cleanses, relieves, delivers, comforts, and strengthens. What a wonderful God we have. Plenteous in mercy, full of compassion, a kind God, a God of loving kindness, and tender mercies. What lovely words. And this consciousness can increase. Yes, when we were first converted, we were aware of our need. But as the years go by, you realize more and more how much you need God. And as that consciousness of our need increases, so our faith can grow. Yes, rich faith can grow. To the Thessalonians, Paul said, or wrote, "Your faith groweth exceedingly." Is your faith growing? Another thing about these people who are rich in faith is that they love God. They who are rich in faith love God. They are heirs of the kingdom which God has promised to them that love Him. There was a time when they didn't love God. There are people who hate God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. God spoke long ago about those people visiting the iniquity of the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. There are people who hate God. And there was a time in the life of those who are rich in faith when they did not believe God. Carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, is at enmity with God. But they have been born again. When a man is born again, he is no longer in the flesh, but in the spirit. To those people at Rome who had been called to be saints, Paul wrote, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you." The Lord Jesus Christ said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again." People do not become believers purely because they are the children of believers. He must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. To go to heaven, to inherit this kingdom, sinners of mankind need to be born again. Something else that has happened to people who are rich in faith and who love God. God has circumcised their hearts. Long ago, God said, when Moses said to the children of Israel, "The Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live." To love God, men need to have their hearts circumcised. And those who are rich in faith have been circumcised in heart. Paul gave teaching about this in the Epistle to the Romans. He says, "That's not circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but that is circumcision which is that of the heart in spirit." circumcision of heart. And every true believer has been circumcised in this way. To the believers at Colossae, Paul wrote, in whom, that is in Christ also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands. It's miraculous. It's not of a man taking a knife and cutting away a piece of flesh. It's made without hands. It's a work of God. It's a miracle. To become a Christian, something supernatural has to take place. Something miraculous. There must be a work of God. A circumcision of the heart. In whom? That is in Christ. People who have been circumcised in heart are in Christ. There was a time when believers were outside of Christ. When they are born again, when God circumcises their hearts, they are in Christ. How can a man know that he is in Christ? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A mighty miracle has taken place. It's a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Something tremendous has taken place in the lives of those who are rich in faith. Regeneration, circumcision of the heart, being baptized into Christ by one Spirit. All these things take place when a man becomes a believer. These miracles can occur without understanding this verse in James. These miracles can take place here this afternoon. God can work in that way in this meeting. Wonderful it would be if someone here this afternoon was born again, circumcised in heart, baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have been listening to the Word of God this afternoon. When God's Word is proclaimed, wonderful things can happen. That's the way God works. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of faith, by the word of God. They who are rich in faith love God. They also love the brethren. James was rich in faith. See how he speaks to these believers. Hearken. My beloved brethren. You know, if people can speak to each other and say, hello, my brother. How often do you say, my beloved brother? Well, that's how James spoke. My beloved brethren, I love you, my brethren. They who are rich in faith, they love God. They love believers. They love all believers, even if they don't share their theological convictions. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Paul, writing to believers at Ephesus, wrote, since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, not to some of them, but to all of them. Do you have such a love for God's people? Whatever labels people stick on them. If they are true believers, We are to love them, and we should find it natural to love them. They who are rich in faith love God, and they love other believers. How do we know that we love other believers? By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Then finally, they who are rich in faith, they are rich. They are rich in faith, of course. But they are rich in other ways. The Lord Jesus Christ became poor, that through His poverty, they who are rich in faith might be rich. They are blessed, not with some spiritual blessings, but with all spiritual blessings. Any spiritual blessing you like, you name it. They who are rich in faith have been blessed with it. Forgiveness, salvation, justification, sanctification, joy, peace. The fruit of the Spirit. All these spiritual blessings, they who are rich in faith have been blessed with them. Yes, Paul, writing to believers in Rome, he says this to them: He that spared not His own Son, He gave heaven's best, His Son, to die for us. And He that spared not His own Son, how shall He not with us also freely give us all things? God is generous. God is generous to those who are rich in faith. Listen to what Paul wrote to believers in Corinth. There are some people who are very fond of criticizing these people at Corinth. Well, they can be criticized for some things, but it was not all bad about them. This is what Paul wrote to them: Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Everything! Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The world is ours. Or life or death, all things present, all things to come, all are yours. Rich in faith. How rich are the rich in faith? They are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whatever Christ receives, we receive. We share all that He has. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be an heir of God? Well, one thing it means is this: that we have the enjoyment of God. This is the chief end of man, to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Listen to the psalmist. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. God Himself! He is my portion forever! God! The enjoyment of God. We enjoy Him down here. We talk to Him. We walk with Him. He blesses us. We tell Him our troubles. We cast our cares upon Him. He pours blessings upon us. We enjoy fellowship with Him. We enjoy God. Ignorant men say He doesn't exist. We know different. We enjoy Him. Heirs of God. And we'll enjoy Him forever. Now, if you like nice food, the finest food you have is the most enjoyable. Whatever it is that you like, you get the best. If you like your cars, then your Rolls Royce or whatever, that's the best. Now then, God is the best. God is the best. And the rich in faith are to enjoy the best forever. We are to enjoy God forever. In the parable of the prodigal son, the father said to the eldest son, "All that I have is thine. You are my heir, my son. What are you complaining about? All that I have is thine. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" They who are rich in faith are heirs of the kingdom which God has promised to them that love him. Believers are in the kingdom of God and of Christ upon earth. We are in the kingdom now. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are in the kingdom now. We'll be in it forever. The kingdom of God and of Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is kingdom of heaven. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. It's ours. The kingdom of God is not for the Jews. It's for believers, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. It is for those who are poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now the kingdom of Christ is not of this world. It's not going to be set up in Jerusalem, in the land of Palestine. My kingdom is not of this world, said the Lord Jesus Christ. And believers are in it. Spiritual people are in it. Here and now. Listen to Paul. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is the kingdom of God. Believers are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. He is the Lord, my righteousness. And they live a righteous life down here. And the more righteous we live, the happier we'll be. The holier we live, the happier we will be. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Justification doesn't mean that then you can go and live as you like. They who have been justified by faith will live righteously. And will demonstrate by their lives that they are righteous, that they are in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace. Peace with God. Peace that passes understanding. And all about us is chaos. We can have peace. God can keep the believer in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. For he trusteth in thee. He's rich in faith. He can have peace all the time. No one can take it away from us. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Supernatural joy. Joy welling up within our hearts. We don't have to work it up. The Holy Spirit produces it in the hearts of believers. They are heirs of the kingdom which God hath promised to them that love him. The saints will inherit the kingdom eternally. One day the Lord Jesus Christ will say to believers, inherit the kingdom. Come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It's been prepared for you. You who love the Lord Jesus Christ, you who believe in him. It is a heavenly kingdom. Paul said, the Lord will preserve me from every evil. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Peter wrote to believers, we have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith. Daniel prophesied of the day when the saints shall possess the kingdom. Do you love God? Is there anybody here today who says, I cannot say that I love God? You must be born again. You must repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and do it at once. Maybe this will be the last service that you'll ever attend. Jesus Christ is coming one day. One day the clouds will cleave, the sky will be rent asunder, and Christ will appear. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We don't know when that will happen. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. It's a very serious matter. Long ago the prophet Isaiah wrote, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen.